aside from the language problem, English-French is quite critical to the whole model, and the Creative Commons license model is quite similar. So do you think it's possible under French law? Is this the meaning of the majority of French lawyers, the idea of Professor Caron? What do you think about it?
Well, indeed, I have read this article of Professor Caron and also several other articles of law professors, and I must admit that some of them, unfortunately, did not understand well the difference between transferring rights and allowing some uses, giving authorization on some uses. And this difference is really fundamental to understand the Creative Commons principle, and also to justify that it can be legal under French law to authorize in advance certain uses. It is not at all an abandon of the authorship prerogative. So, of course, it's not very nice to read articles that criticize nice work, but at the same time, it is a good influence because it gives us material to find new arguments and make a very strong argumentation in favor of the validity of the license.
I got two questions, but I will just make one so that other people can ask. I got a comment and question for Mr. Jetanen, I think, from iCommons Finland, about the example that you did of the film on the phone, about the video on the mobile phone. And you talk about the streaming software that could display licenses. And I just wanted to tell that there already is a free software, I mean a GNU GPL license, the streaming server, which is called Open Media Streaming, and has been developed in Italy at the Politecnico di Torino, which is actually an iCommons partner, but is not here, unfortunately. And this is not Christian's fault, it's Italy's fault that we didn't make it on time. But anyway, what I wanted to say is that there already is a streaming server that can transmit video and audio and can transmit metadata information about these licenses, so that with the proper client, the user can understand what the license or what is or what he or she is seeing is, whether it's non-commercial or whatever. And we are organizing a workshop in Paris at IRCAM on 23 and 24 of June about streaming with free software, transmitting audio and video content over the internet with free software. And one of the topics is the interrelationship between streaming software and licensing, Creative Commons licensing, just so that you know.
Thank you. Are there any further questions?
Yeah, I'm from Holland. My name is Beck van Endel. I'm interested in South Africa. I just heard on the Dutch radio 2 weeks ago. Does it work?
Yes.
The KLM donated their old computers to Africa. And this was initiated by a student from Belgium who wanted to study whether it was useful to send old computers from Europe to Africa. And now he is running a firm, so to say, on a non-profit base, and the computers only go to the non-commercial sectors of Africa. Do you know of this organization?
No, I haven't. Okay.
I know of similar organizations, not that particular one. I know Joris Komen, who's here at the conference, is working with a number of people in Europe to transport secondhand computers to African countries. But is there any relevance? Were you talking about Creative Commons specifically, or just that?
Of course, you showed it when you computer. When technology is mastered, you reach disaster faster. You need a computer before you can become a Creative Commons.
That's a really good question. I've got this here, thanks. So Yeah, it's a common argument that people talk about when they talk about freedom of expression, and Creative Commons is really about freedom of expression and the fact that anyone can create articles and amazing things of creativity. And the main inhibiting factor at the moment in Africa is that in South Africa we have 4 million people online out of 43 million. That makes up most of, it's more than the rest of Africa combined, except for the major industries in Egypt and Nigeria. So, I mean, it's a really good point. But for me, talking about infrastructure before you talk about content, it's kind of a chicken egg scenario. But I'm really interested in how people express themselves with content. And the computer is great, but first you really have to say, bringing computers to Africa is great, but you have to have something to say before this happens, and otherwise it becomes a one-way process where the internet at the moment is dominated by English US content, and that Creative Commons is a wonderful way of meeting that kind of need with indigenous and local cultural expression. So it's a good point, but hopefully the Creative Commons is one way that we're getting towards the... I think we'll take other questions just so everyone can...
I just want to add one point. Not only the computers are brought to Africa, but also the people who instruct the Africans how to use them. Holland also brings old bicycles to South Africa with people who instruct how to repair them. It's not chicken or egg, it's chicken and egg.
I agree.
Over there?
Which one?
With the white shirt. Green, white.
My name is Patrick Pfeiffer. I'm from Luxembourg, from the National Library, and Luxembourg has a long tradition of making money from selling its sovereignty. And at the moment, the collecting societies are being split up, probably by the European Commission. The monopolies of the collecting societies will probably be killed by the European Commission. There's a chance now that in Luxembourg we will create a new kind of collecting society. And I was wondering before from the person from Zagreb, who explicitly wanted to exclude collecting societies from collecting money from a song which was put under a Creative Commons license. And I was wondering whether Creative Commons International or some other country have reflected upon or kind of drafted requirements for a collecting society which would include or exclude rights collecting from a song which is put on a Creative Commons license. As I read that, for example, the German GEMA does not collect songs, does not collect royalties from a song if you put it under a Creative Commons license. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to know, has there been any reflections on this subject?
Mm-hmm. So our aim is to involve the collecting societies to work with us. So we're starting the dialogue how the collecting societies and Creative Commons can combine their works and collaborate on this. But as you know, the GEMA structure in Germany is very traditional, and I think it might take some time to achieve this goal.
In Croatia, this is the problem also of the copyright legislation, because the copyright legislation foresees only one collecting society for each genre of creative production or authorship. And the legislation itself drafts which rights are exclusively, collectively exercisable. So most of them are only collectively exercisable. So people who are left outside of the set of rights or the set of exploitation manners of a work cannot basically exercise their right in a public setup. So it's only up to them individually to exercise their right. I guess this is also the question that, particularly in Croatian context, this needs to be redesigned from scratch.
Yeah, one comment on that. The collecting societies, they don't have competition. They don't have even competition with free. In Finland and in Scandinavia, collecting societies are allowed to collect royalties from the members, for their members, and also for non-members. So if I would make a techno song and license it with Creative Commons license, which also allows commercial use without royalties, and a radio station would play it, a collecting society would still get their royalties for it. So even if the radio station and I go to collecting society and tell them, yes, we have this sort of license, I have choose that people can play my music without paying royalties, still there is royalties to be paid for the collecting societies. So no competition there.
In the brown shirt back there, please.
Boo. Okay. I'm glad that we started to talk about collecting societies. I'm Marcel and I'm from Croatia also. So the from our perspective, there are two points and two big problems. The one is that that there is no way that you can have a hybrid situation so that you as a radio station or whatever can have that you can decrease your costs because you will play some Creative Commons stuff, especially because of practice. Because there is just one collecting society, and the prices which they just brought by themselves without anyone else, they can enforce those prices, and they are so high that everybody just need to agree with them. So you need to have a good connection to that collecting society to have that price. And if you will go in the direction of hybridization, so to say, like, I don't know, like, I'm a non-profit radio station and I want to have 50% of my program as Creative Commons and the other 50%, which is not like that, then they will just charge them with the highest price, and they can't decrease that. And the other problem is that when there is any public discussion about that, their main argument is that it's just the same like everywhere in Europe or in the world, and that's really strong argument when you say that in small country like Croatia, and we would like to do something on our own, but without argument that there is such an initiative or something which is also globally resistance or whatever. We just can't really fight that public discussion, you know, because then we are just alone, you know, because we need like Finland and we need UK, we need like good practices from outside of Croatia to have as an argument for something like, you know, telling that it shouldn't be, you know, monopoly and that, on such issue. Thank you.
The lady. The lady over there.
My name is Anne Østergaard. I come from Denmark. My question is, are there any projects going on in Denmark, Norway, Sweden? And then I would like to ask my Finnish colleague, is the licenses in Finland, are they also translated into Swedish language? That was a question. I'm very curious to know about this. And then I want to tell you about a project that went wrong. I'm in the planning group for the GNOME Developers Conference, which takes place in Kristiansand, Norway, from the 28th to the 30th of this month. And we had a composer who created a wonderful hymn for this conference, and we were ready to pay him for his work, and we proposed the right Creative Commons license, But he dared not do this because he was a first mover, and his record company told him that they would never have anything to do with him again if he chose to go under the Creative Commons license. So this was really a sad thing, and I wish I had been here before or known somebody who had issued their music under a Creative Commons license, so I could have referred him to some colleagues. Thank you.
Thank you. So we have an affiliate institution in Sweden. The project lead's name is Mikael Pavlo, and he's working for a law firm, which is called Lindar. And we also have a project lead in Denmark and in Norway, and I could give you their contact details if you like later.
Yes, and you mentioned that Finland, we have two official languages. The other one is Finnish, that we just finished the licenses. And at the launch event, we published that another organization is going to do the translation into Finnish-Swedish, which is the Swedish is the another official language in Finland. They're obviously going to work with Creative Commons Swedish Project League to do that.
So I can take five more questions.
Five more minutes.
Oh, five more minutes. Okay.
Hello. I'd like to know if the quite traditional and big Franco-Belgic comic scene is adopting the Creative Commons license, and in what to what extent. I'm a big comic fan, that's why I'm asking that. Because the
it's from Belgium, yeah,
I don't know, but I know that Séverine Dussolier is here at the VOS conference, so maybe she can be asked. She's a professor at Namur University, but for Belgium, we were not contacted for this.
Okay, so we have a wonderful project lead in Belgium. Her name is Séverine Dussolier, and she's a great copyright expert, famous throughout the European copyright community, so maybe I could get her in touch with you. We are still in process of developing the Belgium licenses, so it's always the first step in a country to get a draft out, to start the legal discussion, and then we start the public discussion and talk to people who might be able to adopt those licenses.
I guess some of the people yesterday or day before yesterday saw Red Hat's presentation where they had the great commercial going on. It was almost meant for viral distribution, it was a viral ad. People would show them on their website. But when I asked them where can I download this, the answer was our ad agency owns the rights to it. We can only show it. So please write to Red Hat and ask if they could gather some money and buy that ad and put it online and license it with Creative Commons licenses.
Okay, I think the gentleman with the gray shirt had another question.
I got a question for Mr. Da Silva. You mentioned that you are not, I didn't understand whether you're not allowed to translate the GNU-GPL and GNU-LGPL license into Portuguese, and that sounds strange to me because last time we checked with Free Software Foundation to translate into Italian, the point was not that we were not allowed, but we needed to, synchronize with lawyers because the Free Software Foundation wants to have an official translation of the licenses. But anyway, the point that I don't get is how having the CC minus GPL license somehow solves the problem. And if you don't think, I personally think that mixing the GPL license, which is a software license, with a Creative Commons license, which is not meant for software, is a very dangerous path to go through. Because even now, I'm currently in contact with Debian, the Debian project. And Debian, for example, doesn't consider Creative Commons licenses as free licenses because they analyze them from the software point of view. I mean, there are two very different worlds, software and not software, everything that is not software. So, to make a long story short, I don't understand what the goal is to have the CC minus GPL license.
Okay. Okay. I guess we have someone else to answer your question here.
It's a very important question. I want to make sure it's, I mean, you can answer it as well, but I want to make sure the point's clear. We, Creative Commons is not writing software licenses. We're not in that business. The weakness we think software licenses have is two very technical weaknesses. One weakness is no machine, that in general there's not machine readability attached to licenses. And the second is no simple way of expressing outside of the license what the license is doing. So the CC GNU GPL is just the GPL, literally the GPL, wrapped in machine-readable expression and linked to a commons deed. And the one trick with the translation is that there's the English, the standard GPL, and there is the translation, the Portuguese GPL. And because they're wrapped together, you're always dual licensing everything under both. So that sustains the GPL link under the English GPL for all licenses that are attached to this, but also permits the Portuguese license to have its effect in the case where there might be some conflict between the Portuguese and the English. Now, of course, some of the licenses, so none of the Creative Commons licenses are being offered for software. So the Debian criticism is either not understanding what the licenses are doing or misinformed about what the intent is. But keeping those two worlds very separate, I think, is important because there's, you know, 175 used open source and free licenses out there for software, and we think that's enough, right? We were just trying to create 11 in the context of culture to compare with 175 in the context of software. Does that answer, does that help clarify? Okay, Ronaldo, do you want to add to that? No,
it's just stressing that the CC GNU GPL is the GNU GPL, and that's it.
I have a suggestion. I'm involved somewhat with folk music, and while it's great to have a license that allows people to make non-commercial use of music, it would be very convenient if we also had a license which allowed people to make small-scale commercial use of music. I'm thinking about, firstly, street music. Secondly, playing in pubs. Thirdly, people putting music on their websites. I think most composers would be quite happy for such small-scale commercial use to be completely unregulated, while some composers might still expect, you know, that if Paul McCartney uses one of your songs, he writes you a check. My suggestion is that there's a hole in there waiting to be filled with something. I don't know quite how to write the license, but I'm not a liar, and maybe there are people here who have ideas.
We have a discussion on our website about the general Creative Commons licenses, and it would be great if you could maybe add to the discussion there with your idea. Can take one more question.
My name is Justyna Hofmokl, and I come from Poland. When I'm trying to raise the awareness about the necessity to introduce the CC licenses to Poland, and I'm facing such problem. Maybe one of you or maybe the team from Brazil will help me to solve the problem, because when I talk to various important persons like publishers, authors, lawyers, very frequently what they say is, okay, but this is very nice idea, but we are living in a country that has very young democracy, and we have other problems like piracy. And piracy is this thing we are now facing, we are concentrating to kill now. And they say, it's too young. It's we are too not early to introduce such licenses, because we have the half of the market is on the streets, and there are the places where all the CDs are being sold, and our artists are suffering not from, well, they are suffering because they are being pirated. Have you faced such problems? Maybe you have any ideas about it.
Well, I think piracy certainly is a very important concern for developing countries and several other countries. And I guess what the Creative Commons allows it, and at least that has been the experience in Brazil, is the fact that it creates several other possibilities of creating, you know, inventive business models. And that's exactly what's going on there. Like the example I just said about the Tecnobrega in the north of Brazil, where the producers made a deal with the street vendors. And, you know, if you do that, like Creative Commons style, you can use this experience to invent and, like, be creative and overcome this idea of piracy and, like, use it more as a possibility rather than like something that you should prevent, like being against the Creative Commons and wait until you solve the piracy problem and then you use the Creative Commons. I think you can do both things at the same time.
It is always much more difficult in developing countries like Poland and South Africa. One thing that I've realized is that the usual suspects, the big publishers, are not the people that will understand or be that open. It's a very new concept, and I always point to some really great business models that have been developed around that. I'm always trying to see who's using Creative Commons to actually not only create free content, but also create some value for authors. So there are a lot of different, in each sector, there are a lot of different examples. And I think it's really important for us to generate those examples and to share them with each other. Because as you say, it is always very difficult. But the thing about Creative Commons in a developing country is that I think the people out there, the smaller, really small kind of individual community actors are going to be the important players, not the big publishers. So, but it is difficult.
So, there's not, okay, one more question and then we'll end the session. It's back there.
Hi, I'm Prayas from India. I just would like to share my experiences with using the license in India. I've been publishing a print magazine, which is under the Creative Commons license. Now, my approach has been that when a small publisher starts a magazine, it's very difficult to build up a readership and thereby spread the access of the content. So the same, the magazine is available on online as well as in print, and we just charge people for the paper and ink. In that context, and it's under the non-commercial use Creative Commons license, so anybody can take a print copy and make photocopies as many as they like and distribute it again, and they can charge for the paper and ink also. So in that context, we are looking at people becoming distributors of the magazine and recover the cost and thereby help us spread our reach. In the second use, we have set up a repository of educational books and textbooks, which have long been out of print in India. So now these books, which is called Ghonsla, which means a nest, they have become so popular that some prominent newspapers have called us up asking for permission to use them. And we've been telling them that it's they don't need to take permission because, first of all, they have they're in, under the Creative Commons license, so it's very clear that as long as they credit it they don't use it for commercial purposes, it's all right. And secondly, the original institutions who published the textbooks, the educational textbooks and research material, they are not around anymore. And it's only for public archiving that we have done that. Thank you.
So thank you very much for joining us, and thanks again to our project leads.